Imagine feeling confident on stage, connecting with the audience, getting leads and clients, and having a talk that impacts more people. This can be you, even if you feel like a diamond in the rough or best kept secret, because speaker, consultant, and agent Antoniette is going to show you how to craft your vocal brand, stand out, get booked, and maximize your success. Let's dive in. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey, folks, it's Lindsay with another episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And today I have Antoniette, a speaker consultant and agent, and of course, a show host as well. And what I loved about Antoniette is that she kind of finds, like, you find diamonds in the rough, Antoniette, and you like make them shine. You, for lack of better terms, you polish them and get them started. Because when you're a podcast host, and you aspired all those people on stage, or maybe you've spoken only once or twice, you're like, how can I get there?
You're right, Lindsay. And first of all, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here with you. So before I was a speaker agent or a speaker consultant, I was a producer. I produced very large scale events. So I was fielding applicants all the time, right, for speaking. And then I was also looking for who I wanted on my stages. And the way that I would pin, these were very large scale events. And how I would design my events is I would pick one to two very well-known names in that space, depending on the genre, the theme of that particular event at that time. And the rest I would fill on purpose with hidden gems. Why I loved that is because too many of us spend decades of our lives, right, perfecting our craft, perfecting our field of study. And when we retire to the next level of life, or we just retire, then all of that's gone. It's not passed on. Maybe somebody writes a book, but really the most powerful way to get that curated knowledge out there is to use your voice. Podcasting is one of the greatest ways to do that. But of course, getting in, speaking at relevant events and all of those things. And so what I found was a lot of these beautifully brilliant hidden gems knew their stuff, right? And they were all heart-centered. I was in the natural wellness space. So they were all very heart-centered, wanting to help people, but they didn't, number one, they didn't know how to monetize the microphone. And number two, they did not know how to temper or the cadence of what was needed for people to really be able to absorb the information they were giving.
Ooh.
So an example is, they would, you know, maybe follow a very well-seasoned speaker, and that the speaker has it dialed in, knows when to get the laughs, knows when to go heavy, pull back light, you know, all of the rhythm and orchestration that goes into a powerful talk that connects. And then a less seasoned speaker, still brilliant, still courageous, right? They want to get their message out there. But they would get on and they would just dump the whole pot of pasta on everybody's heads,
right?
Right? What do you do when you're full? It could be your favorite dish in the world. It could be your mother's, your grandmother's, right? Best 3-day Sicilian pasta sauce, right? It could be amazing, but they keep feeding it to you. And you're just like, oh gosh, I love it. I just can't, not one more bite, right? That's the last way you want to leave an audience. You want to give just enough nourishment so they're like, okay, I digested that. That was amazing. That is transformative. That was delicious. Where's my next bowl coming from? That's the way, obviously, that you want to leave your audience. And so I was seeing this event after event. I'm like, how can I make a difference? I want their voices heard. And that comes from a very personal backstory of wanting to make sure everybody knows what their options are when they're making any significant decision. So the next best step, of course, was to become an agent and, and be able to guide them in that process. And so that's the journey from being a producer to now being a consultant and an agent.
That is so true, because, and I've seen people on stage where I'm like, the content's good, but I miss something, or something happened too fast, or they explained it in kind of not a concise way, whatever. It was like how it's delivered, and even like stage presence, and people that are like paid for like keynote speaking, like, and they have like, you know, coaches and what have you, but they have that dialed in. And for you to be able to kind of see their potential and want to give them that opportunity, but also to teach them how to be better to get more opportunities. I love that. And the way you phrase it, I've actually never heard it phrased that way before. It makes total sense.
There's too much brilliance out there to not get it heard, right? And it's not, and that this is another piece. Some who I maybe would come across their work through a colleague, or maybe I actually received a treatment from them, you know, whatever it might be. They're like, oh, no, I could never talk. I could never get on a stage. And I would shut them down right away. I'm like, that's too selfish. I know you're not selfish. That's, don't think about you. When you're thinking about the people who are in the audience, who lay awake at night praying for the solutions that you have, they're only there because they're looking for information, right? When your focus is on them and to answer those deep, deep questions, to create a space for them to have some breakthroughs in their lives, you don't care if your hair's out of place or whether or not the people like you, right? It's about them. It's not about you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, nerves aside, it's like you want to help people and share your message and your impact. So when you find these passionate people that have a voice to share, what would make them stand out more in that, you know, there's like a sea of options of who can be speakers on various stages. Like, how do you get them to stand out?
Yes. Okay. So it's changed a bit since I was a producer, and now that I'm an agent, I do have to be a little bit more discerning, yeah, because there's a lot of speakers out there and there's a lot of competition. When I was a producer, it was my stage. I got to pick who was on my stage. So really what I would do in those days is, who's making a difference? Who's really passionate about their work? Who is making sacrifices to make a greater impact? Is their approach innovative, right? Those are the things that I was looking for. Now that I'm a speaker agent, and you know, I pay a business consultant good money every single month. And he's always telling me, Antoniette, why are you doing this? This is not a moneymaker for you, as far as this part I'm about ready to share with you. And it's because I'm so passionate about it. But about 15 hours a month, I will go out and either really kind of look deeper at people who have reached out to me, who may not have a huge following, who may not have keynote speaker right next to their name, but I'll go and take a deeper look at them, and I'll actually scout. And this is what I'm looking for. I want to see, again, people who are innovative, who are stepping out of their comfort zones, who are making the hard choices to get their solution known and their processes known, are outside of the box, right? So maybe they're not a polished speaker or presenter yet. Now I do require, it's part of my requirement, is that they're at least getting out in their community and speaking. At least they are trying to put their voice. Maybe they're part of Toastmasters or Rotary Clubs, or, you know, whatever those different initial ways of getting your voices out there might be, because it's hard to market speakers. There's a lot going on out there in that world, but I turn away on a monthly basis, I turn away very well-known, recognized names who want me to represent them. Why do they need me, right? They already have their, yeah, all their speaker assets. They've got their ecosystem dialed in. They know who their audience is. They know what their archetype is. They know all those things. I want to work from the ground up, and not as much money in that, but there's a lot of passion behind my reason to do that. And so the key things that I have to look for, and podcasters are my favorite, because you guys, you are getting your voices out there, clunky, polished, you know, and everything in between, right? And I it's a really easy way to go and listen to your approach and the way that you relate and connect with your audience. And so those are just some of the things that I look for. Are you making an effort to get your voice beyond your office doors, your clinic doors, you know, whatever it might be? Yeah. And do you have a passion to make that bigger, broader, grander impact in this world?
Yeah. Passion goes a long way. You can tell when you're hearing a podcast or seeing someone on stage, just like their body movements, their face, like the way they talk, like you can tell when someone's passionate about what they do and what they love.
Yes. I mean, everything else is learnable, right? But that passion, you can try to fake it. People see right through it. That's not, I can work with somebody with passion, get them all the other pieces, right? That's just training, but I can't take somebody with all the, and I've had this too. They have everything else down. They have the talk down. Everything else is polished. They don't have the passion. They're really just in it for the paycheck.
Yeah.
It's just false flat for me.
Agreed. Now you touched upon a word and you said ecosystem. What do you mean by the ecosystem and what makes that up?
Yes, this is first foot in the door with me. This is the first thing that we address before we do anything else because it's foundational. You can be an incredible speaker with incredible passion, right? But it's also got a bridge to, is there a need in the market? And do you have the ability to fill that need in the market? It also has to relate to, does it build the castle you want to live in? So many very famous, very successful, very rich people, they just hit the ground running because they've got this talent or they've got this opportunity and they just go after it, right? Great. Ambition is amazing. So they build this grand castle and then they're miserable, right? You see so many people who seemingly have it all who just implode or just kind of sabotage themselves. And it's because they never checked in with their ecosystem. So you want to build that mansion you want to actually live in. And you don't want to get to the end of that and say, I did not want a glass house on the beach. I don't like sand and wind, right? I wanted a cabin in the woods with a stream running through it. That's what I wanted. And so you just check in without you. First of all, you create the foundation, really knowing what your ecosystem is. What are your non-negotiables in your life as far as what you want, what you don't want? Who do you want to serve and who don't you want to serve? What is the message you want to bring? And what is the message that doesn't really light your fire? It's a bunch of pieces, right? All put together. And then don't stop there, right? That's your foundation. Get to your first milestone. Redo that whole system again, because new level, new Lindsay, right? You get to a new peak in your life and your vantage point completely changes. Everything you see completely changes. And all the data you've collected to get up to that peak, what people respond to, what they don't respond to, what you really thought you would enjoy in the delivery, but it's either gotten old for you or you didn't enjoy it the way that you thought you would. So each new milestone, you just revisit that foundation, reset your ecosystem, then go to the next level.
Well said. Absolutely. Yeah. And the number of times that your journey like shifts, you go down a fork in a road, it's like something's no longer serving you. You like change your niche or a new passion because of something that's happened in your life. I mean, we're always evolving. We're always changing. So that has to like follow with you.
Yes. And you said something really key, Lindsay, is that you want to do it in micro changes. Otherwise you alienate all those that have linked arms with you on that journey. So if you do it often, each new milestone, and this should be at least 3 times a year. I mean, if you're moving forward, there are things that are changing every day, right? Evolving, I should say, more than changing. So you don't want to make a pendulum swing. You just want a micro transformation. And that comes if you're checking in along the way and not waiting too long. Then you can just make some micro adjustments and continue and not lose everybody who's like, wait a minute. I thought Lindsay was about this and now what? She's what? Right? You don't want to give anybody whiplash.
I know. Do you find some people, they have like a keynote speech topic and then they like will take that to their grave. Like they just, that's it. Like, I feel like I really enjoy when different entrepreneurs are growing and changing and they have new talks or they have a new topic or something else that they're passionate that can serve the audience. And I mean, you don't necessarily want to just jump with the trends, but I like to see those changes.
Yes. Okay. So, this is so good. I love this. So there's a difference between, in different seasons of your life, you are close to different people within your family unit, right? Just, you know, you and your sister are having babies at the same time. You're just going to spend more time together. I don't know, maybe your uncle builds a business of a business that you're in, you're going to spend more time together. You know, there's different seasons in lives. The same is true for you as an artist, right? As the artist of your career and your life. So what I do as a speaker agent, and this is so critical, again, yes, you're going to have that same talk over and over and over again, or you're going to be all over the place with all your talks and nobody, a confused mind doesn't buy, right? We need to understand, who is Lindsay Phillips? What does she stand for? If I want something done, what is that something I go to her for, right? And so there is a balance in there. What I work with my speakers on is we create, I've been trying to come up with another name. If anybody out there has a better name, please tell me, because this name does not fit it. But we create their signature talk, but it's really not a talk. It is a sphere of their brand. In that talk, it's an accordion. It can go up and down, sideways and forwards, depending on who, what audience you're speaking with. Do they want a 45-minute talk? Do they want a three-day? Are you going to speak at a three-day retreat of theirs or a conference? So there's lots of room. But also within there, in your actual content, depending on what they want, one piece of that content can become a whole talk in itself. So in your so-called signature talk are 100 different talks, but you always snap back to your core brand. So there's never confusion about what you're an expert in and why would I go to you versus some other person. So yes, there's definite value in becoming known for a sphere of expertise. At the same time, you know, nobody wants to eat the same dish every single day, right? You do need to have some relevance and some variety in there. There's a deliberate way of doing that.
I have never heard of it being explained that way, but I love that, having that core, but you have like, you know, different jumping off points that you can have like micro talks about or whatever. And yeah, you're right. It does change and morph slightly, like depending on who you're talking up to. And yeah, that it helps me picture it in my brain.
Great.
I love that. So when you have these, you know, emerging speakers that are coming up, how do they find their, I don't know if this is the right word, but like their vocal brand, like how their speaker identity, I guess, is maybe that
yes.
the right word.
Okay. You're just on point with your questions. These are so fun. We didn't even really rehearse what we were going to ask. This is really, really good. Okay. So Lindsay, this is another part of the ecosystem building that we do. That's the foundational. That's the first thing that has to be done when I bring on it. Actually, before they can even get the agency representation conversation with me, they have to go through this process. Because, well, number one, I know if I don't get to represent them or for some reason it's not a good fit, they have their right, all the pieces of their puzzle are put in the right order that makes their launching pad go in the right direction. So they're not circling the mountain for 7 years, which most speakers do. But if they really do find that voice and hit, get that direction to stop circling the mountain and get actually to the pinnacle. So what we do is, if you can picture two upside down L's, right? There's an upside down L on the right. There's an upside down L on the left. So you've got these two, let's say you're on a mountain flat, right? Yeah. Looking down at a huge cavern in between.
Got it.
So you, as the speaker, have what the person over here who wants transformation needs, right? And so what is it about you that can get them to the other side? So basically what we do is we look at, and they always come in with an idea of what they are going to talk about, what they want to get. But after we do this exercise, it almost always completely changes. And they're like, yes, that was it. So essentially we look at their, at just that one person who they've helped along the way. They would love 100 more of that same one person, right? And we just dive deep into who was that person, what was keeping them awake at night, what were some of the things that they verbalized was holding them back from that next level of their life. You know, just we just really dive into that person. And then we just ignore the cavern in between. And then we go to the other side. Okay, let's meet in a coffee shop a year from now. You've been working with them for a year. What are they saying to you has changed in their lives? What are some of the things that they're thanking you for, right? And then we just kind of verbalize what that person is saying. Oh my goodness, I can now have time with my kids and don't need to feel guilty that I'm taking time away from work. I get to serve my clients at a higher level. I get to, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to the dark side, right? And we just look at three things. What is that first big plank of wood that needs to be laid before they can even think about taking that second step? And we just really identify that. And it's generally just, it's so obvious, but it just changes everything for the speaker. So they look at that and they're like, yeah, this has to happen before anything else can happen. Great. They've got that done. What's that next step that has to happen before they can get onto that third plank? We identify that. What's the third plank that has to happen before they can actually step on the other side? We identify that. That, those three key, it actually turns out to be four, right? Key items. We then look at, okay, what three key items gets them to have success in the main objective, right? And so now they've got 9 to 12, depending on how we did it, pieces of their talk. Ooh. And everything, all their branding, all their messaging, all their email, everything stems from that. And it's beautiful and it's rich. And there's a lot of different ways that they can paint the colors into it. But it just really creates that whole understanding of what you desire, who you desire to serve, how you desire to serve them, and that fulfillment piece at the end, knowing that you've made some big transformations in somebody else's life.
I love that, because I think, of course, you're always thinking about how things like that apply to your own life or whatever. And I can be very like logistical, like how you do this, how you do that, and the steps, where it's like you're looking at it from a different angle and like the problem and the solution and really like digging into that and why is it your passion and what is the impact that you want to make and making the talk more about that versus here is my four step system. Yes. That's what it feels like to me, what I'm hearing anyways.
Yes. No, you're exactly right, Lindsay. Nobody cares about the nuts and bolts, right? When you go and buy a car, I don't care what screws they use. I just want to know it's going to be comfortable. It's going to get me from A to B. It's going to be reliable. That you buy the finished product, right? You buy the, and how is that car going to make me feel? What we do it normally as just, you know, people who have a product or service or even a show is we try to sell the nuts and bolts. People don't buy the nuts and bolts. They buy, what's this going to do for my life? What is this going to do for me? And you can't sell that unless you can see it.
Yeah. Dang, that's good. I'm learning so much from you. It's making me rethink my own talks.
Yay.
We always have things to learn, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when you're done learning, you're done. Like,
I know.
why go on after that?
I know. I want to ask you, because I've always been curious about this, but should every speaker have a speaker reel? Like, how do you, I know like there's like one sheets and speaker sheets, but like, how do you really showcase yourself? Like, hey, I am a good speaker, darn it. Like, I've got a message to share, like, so that you can
Yes.
kind of grab the booking or the host, their attention.
I'm so glad you're asking this question. This is such a big misnomer. And it's funny you're asking this question because just this morning I was with several of my clients who were going through this very exact subject matter, or their speaker assets is what we call them.
Yeah.
So there is a difference between a sizzle reel is not a promotional item. What a sizzle reel is after a host introduced you, they run the sizzle reel, they give the audience a little warm up about you. You go running on the stage, everybody's all excited to hear what you're about ready to say, right? That's what a sizzle reel
Oh.
is. There is a demo reel, and then what I call a pro clip. It's something I've made up. I'm sure other agents out there have, I don't know, maybe I'm fully original, but this is something that I have found to be very, very important and pivotal in getting my speakers booked. So what a demo reel is, that's your marketing piece.
Gotcha.
And essentially it's not very long, and it just gives the decision maker, the speaker booker, a glimpse into who you are, what your credentials are, a little bit about your subject matter and your delivery style, right? So sometimes it's just a voiceover with some of clips of you in the background, or it's you speaking and then you fade away and they actually get to hear you do a little clip of your presentation. It really shouldn't be over, 2 to 3 minutes. It's a very small, same with your demo reel, should be maybe a minute and a half to 2 minutes tops. The pro clip is no more than 2 minutes. And this I utilize all the time. And this is more of one-to-one conversation because it's not practical to think that everyone I pitch to, I'm going to get my speaker on the phone or in a video or in a Zoom to be able to say, hey, this is who I am, and this is why I think I would be excellent for your event, your corporation, your L&D program, whatever it might be. So I actually have them pre-record one broad enough pro clip where I can promote them. Now, sometimes when it's a big event or a very targeted event, I'll go to them and ask them for a specialized pro clip for that. But for the most part, this covers the basis. And I have had so many speaker bookers say, that's what did it. That's what got me to look at you, to your speaker over and above, all the 1500 other applicants that I got, because they get to just hear your voice. Hi, I'm Lindsay Phillips. This is what I do. This is who I serve. This is the transformation I bring your audience. And you'd never even have to say, and this is my style, because they're seeing you. They're seeing your style.
They get a sense of your personality.
Yes, and your presence and how you carry yourself. Yes.
I love that. Yeah, I've totally, I mean, not that I book people on any stages, but I've never seen or heard of that before. So I think that's really unique and kind of adds that extra personal touch. And so that the host can make a better decision. And really, when hosts of events can make a quicker decision, I'm sure that's advantageous.
Yes, quick sideline on that. So some speakers will come in with like a 3-page contract, like a speaker's contract. You do want to make it quick and simple and no-brainer. Really, most speaker bookers, all they care about, because their job relies on it, is that you are going to make them look like a rock star, right? For finding you. They don't care about pinching pennies. They have a budget. They're happy to spend the entire budget as long as you're going to make them look good and give them job security, right? And I think that most speakers think, I got to come in, I got to beat the price. I have to. And that's not it at all. They want to know you're a sure bet. You're going to deliver. You're going to deliver transformation in your talk. And tip there is always make sure not to make your concept so big that the audience can't walk away without at least one transformation right there and then.
Yeah.
Something they can implement right there and then, not have to read another thing, not have to look at another thing. It's just so doable. Mel Robbins is a master at that, right? Mm-hmm. That she could just, you know, hear her for 5 minutes. You're like, oh, I can do that. That is so doable. I can count back from four or whatever. But just something that isn't, it's not fluff. It's real. It's real transformation, but it's also not complex. It's bite-sizable.
Perfect. And at what point do you get to where you can charge for speaking, or does it just happen organically and people approach you for a paid gig and then it just happens?
Sometimes it happens organically. Really, the more you get yourself out there, the more visible you are, the more you're going to just happen upon the person that's looking for you, and they're tasked with finding a speaker and they're going to come to you. But really, it is about visibility and exposure. Yeah. And one of the things that will get me to say no to a speaker is one that's like, I don't do unpaid gigs and I don't do podcasts and I don't travel without a stipend of whatever. You know, it's just like, that's fine. Good. Yeah. Go do it. Right. Go ahead and do it. What I find are those who are generous with their time, generous with their IP, their intellectual property. They are the ones who really make it, because let me take away this misnomer. There is never an unpaid speaking engagement. Done right, any speaking engagement, even when you're on somebody else's podcast, if you're discovered by one person, mm-hmm. and you've got a product or a service, that is a paid speaking engagement. I have one speaker who's brilliant. I could never do this. I don't know. Never say never, but he tracks in a spreadsheet everywhere he speaks and whoever comes into his sphere from that particular engagement. And 3 years from now, he can tell you that one person I met 3 years ago at this engagement, it has paid me $200,000 over the he can say it down to the penny.
That's
crazy. I'm just more general about, I met her at, this Dallas convention. She became my agent, I became her agent, and so on and so forth. But all of that to say, there's no unpaid speaking engagement. You're either getting paid by premium clientele, right? Your right fit, perfect fit clientele, or you're getting paid by authority, credibility, mm-hmm. credentials building. And if you're doing it right, you're getting those valuable testimonials. You're getting those other pieces because you're intentionally intentionally with a plan to work that engagement in the right way. Real quick story. I was, last July, I was a speaker at an event in Florida. I'm in Texas. So it was a bit of a travel. Yeah. I'm running a busy business. It was definitely a sacrifice to take off the time to go do this. But they said they're going to have 8,500 people there. I spoke with the producers. And right fit to me, right? Don't just speak to speak. Make sure you're in front of your right fit person. But a month out, the producer told me they had sold 6,500 tickets. I'm like, okay, I've been a producer. I know a lot. Your biggest ticket sales come in that last month. They're going to hit 85, but even if they don't, 6,500, I'm happy with that. Right. And so, because I was a speaker, I got a certain number of free tickets for my speakers. Three of them took me up on it, came with me. Lindsay was off. It was in this gorgeous grand hotel. I don't think there was one lanyard that I looked at that wasn't either a speaker or a vendor, right? There was not one attendee lanyard. There was an uprising in the conference hall. There was an uprising in the exhibit hall. These exhibitors had flown in from all over the world with all of their wares, losing tons of money. But I'm just sharing this with you because, yes, I expected hundreds, if not 1,000 or so in my audience. I got 10 people in my audience, and I was a lucky one.
Dang.
I got 10 people in my audience, three of whom were my speakers. So really it was 7 people in my audience. That was a $33,000 engagement for me in the end. And it's still not done. I made relationships there that are still going to grow into other, into more, right? But I saw brilliant people. I would sometimes just go into one of the little breakout rooms and sit, even though I wasn't interested in the topic, just because there was no one in there. Listen, I didn't want that poor speaker to be speaking to nobody. So I would just sit in there and just, I was also an MC at this event, and one of the speakers, all three of my clients were interested in. So they all went to listen to this doctor talk, and she was really compelling, really interesting. There was maybe seven people in the room. And what it was really sad because my speakers were telling me what had happened. So she was compelling. You loved her. You wanted to know the next thing. And she never gave the next directive, right? You don't just give a talk to just throw up your information and walk out. You give a talk, and your talk is just the first step in a journey.
Yes.
A talk is never just a talk, right? It's the first step in a journey. And she never gave the next step in the journey. And there was one lady who actually raised her hand and said, well, how do we find you? What do we do? What do we do? And she goes, oh, here's my LinkedIn, you know, on the screen. And here's my Instagram. Just follow me. Goodness.
No.
She was leaving tens of thousands of dollars.
Heck yes.
And she was probably complaining that what a waste of a trip, right? But really, you can make any speaking engagement, whether you've got 10 people, 10,000 people. If you're in front of your right people, that's the biggest thing that I look at. I don't look at the numbers as much as I look at, are you in front of the right people? And that's part of the ecosystem. You find out exactly who that one person you speak to every single time you talk till you evolve intentionally, and you're talking to a little bit differently, you're talking to her sister now or whatever. But if you can speak and touch the heart of and make connection and make community with that one person in the room, you've got all of the ones who can relate to her.
Yeah.
All ears, right? They're connecting with you. They believe you've found their diary somewhere. How did she know that about me? Yes, this is keeping me awake at night. Yes, that's the solution I want. It's not about your information. It's not about what the host check is giving. The host check is, even if it's a $20,000 engagement, that is always going to be the littlest check there is for that speaking engagement. Your bigger checks is the audience.
What a great quote. That was such a good story. And you're so right. You can monetize in so many ways versus simply being paid for the keynote speaker to stand on stage. There's the options are endless, really.
Yes.
I love that. Man, my brain is going a mile a minute. You have given us so many good tips, and you've made me think about, you know, my talks that I do and how to, you know, fine tune them. You know, there's always room for some polish on me. And I imagine the audience as well is just really taking what you said to heart and really thinking about how it can impact, you know, their next stage.
Yes. That's what I hope. It's all about our voices,
yeah.
Right? And the more we all do good, the more good there is.
Yeah. I love it. Now, how can people find you and connect with you? And if you have a free resource, by all means, share away.
So depending on what you want to reach out to me for, if you are a producer and you're looking for dynamic speakers in health, well-being, or optimal performance, that's professional performance or personal performance, then speakerbooker.com. Right? Go there. If you're a speaker, an emerging speaker, speakerbooker.com. If you want more information, like I just gave, I actually have my own show, and that is called Speak Pact, Pact Like Impact. And that's at speakpact.com. So you can follow us on all the major ways you follow podcasts there. I do have some really great resources, really great gifts at Wellness Productions, which is the name of my agency.com. Wellness Productions with, oh, no, sorry. Wellness Productions, plural, co, because yes. Wellness Productions was taken. Wellness Productions co.com.
Perfect.
So those are the main ways. And of course, I'm on all the socials, the number one, Antoniette, not the easiest to spell. So I'm on all the socials as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And of course, I'll have all those links in the show notes as well at theleverageyourpodcastshow.com. Thank you so much. You have given different insights that I haven't heard from others touching upon, you know, becoming a speaker. And I really feel like your approach is different and definitely more heartfelt.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. It's been a pleasure. And you'll have to come on over and speak on my show soon.
Heck yes. That's a given.
All right. Well, thanks for the time. Yes. Appreciate you.
Thank you. And we'll see you next week, folks, on the Leverage Your Podcast Show.
Ciao, ciao for now.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you are guesting on podcasts but still feel like the best kept secret and you want to create authority boosting content with ease while attracting leads and clients, then request a free podcast guest leverage audit to transform your results. Head to leverageyourpodcast.com/guest audit.